take time in Haran. Of course, this it'll cover a few more of these chapters here, this time while they're in Haran. He had to stay long enough that he would be able to trick back his father-in-law, since his father-in-law would trick him here. This is the beginning of that time here in Genesis chapter 29. As you remember, he was sent by Rebekah, his mother, to go to the household of Laban in order to protect him from Esau. She, however, tells Isaac, "I'm sending him to go find a wife of my people because I couldn't handle him taking one of these wives, these Canaanites. So let him go and find a wife of our people." But her real intent wasn't even to do with a wife. Her intent was get Jacob out of here before Esau kills him, before Esau has a chance to kill him. So she's her actions are purely out of that mind of safety for Jacob. Now, what happens? Jacob goes and finds a wife. In fact, he goes and finds two of them while he's there. And that's what we're going to look at this evening here in chapter number 29. So Jacob is on his journey there in chapter 28. He stops in Bethel there and has that dream of the Lord. And the Lord declared that he was Jacob's God, just as he was the God of Abraham and of Isaac before him. He was also the God of Jacob. And here Jacob sets up this pillar. His pillow becomes a pillar here and marks this place and calls it Bethel, or the house of God, because this is the place where he met God in this dream. And he would depart from this place and now continue on his journey. And he comes in, the Bible tells us here in the first verse of chapter 29, he comes into the land of the people of the east. So then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. He looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again into the well's mouth in his place. And Jacob said unto them, "My brethren, whence be ye?" And they said, "Of Haran are we." And he said unto them, "Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know it." And he said unto them, "Is he well?" And they said, "He is well. Behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep." So here these guys are sitting around the well here. They're waiting to water the sheep. And waiting for whoever to come and to lift off the stone from the well in order for them to water. And they'll explain here to Jacob in just a moment that the reason they've not watered yet is because they have to wait until everybody's there. Apparently, either the owner of the well would not allow them to open it up but once a day, or the rock was too heavy. But they didn't want to open it up more than once a day. "Well, we'll roll this stone out of the way one time. You want to water your flocks, you'll be here when we roll the stone out, and then we'll put the stone back on." So for whatever reason, they're covering this well keeping up the water and knowing who all and what is being watered there. It's interesting to note that there's so much around these wells that goes on here in the life of the patriarchs, even with Abraham and Isaac especially, and Jacob as well. We find this place of meeting so often around these wells, and how important these wells were to them in that day, to the point that Jacob's well is even mentioned in John chapter 4, where Jesus meets the woman of Samaria there and reveals to her that he is the living water, that he is the Christ that they had been looking for. And that woman is saved there at that well, goes back into town and tells Everybody in town, come out and see him. He's here. Messiah has come. He's out here in the well. I met him there today. He told me everything about myself. Come out and meet him there. And so by the time we come to Christ and his ministry there, that well is still so important to the people of Israel and to the people of the land around there, that well being so necessary, that there's so much that happens there at the well. Eleazar, sent by Abraham to go and find Isaac's wife, where does he go? He goes to the well. He goes to the well. Maybe the same well here. I don't know. Because it was the same place. He was going to Haran there. There's where he'd find Rebekah. And remember his prayer there as we were studying through that. He desired the Lord. Lord, I don't know what I'm looking for. I don't know who it is, but you know. Just send her my way. And if she be the one, and he sees Rebekah, if she be the one, let her ask to water my canvas for her. And she comes up, that's the first thing she asks. Well, let me get you some water. Let me water your candles as well. And so right there was made known to Eleazar the success of his journey, that the Lord had prepared the way there at that well. Here, Jacob comes to a well also. Again, it may be the same well. I don't know. It's the same location. They were going to Haran. It may be the very same well where Eleazar met Rebekah. But here Jacob meets Rachel looking for his uncle Laban and coming to his household. And he asked of Laban, he asked how he's doing and do they know him? And they said, yeah, he's doing fine. Everything's well. And then back here comes his daughter Rachel. She's bringing the sheep to water. And then Jacob said there in verse 7, he said, lo, it is yet a high day. Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them. Takes such a long time they'd all be here. Watering these sheep, this is too late in the day. They should have already been watered and put out the pasture. What are you doing having them gathered up right now? And verse 8 says, they said, we cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. So they had to wait for somebody to open the well. So Jacob opens the well for them. Says, while he had spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, and Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Now, Rebekah watered Eleazar's camel. Jacob comes and waters Laban's sheep there for him as they meet there at the well. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. It came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him into his house. And he told Laban all these things. So here, Jacob's journey is a success. It was exactly what he had come to do. He came to have refuge in his uncle Laban's house. This is before the days of GPS. This is before maps on your phone. He couldn't, poke in an address here and get the directions across the desert to see where he needed to go. He was wandering, seeking, going in the right direction. I go east. And so he goes in the right direction to come and to find his family that he had not himself seen. He had heard of, he knew, but he had not seen them himself. And he comes, and immediately after having come, he meets his cousin, Rachel, there. He's immediately brought into Laban's house. And so we see here, not that they were in it, don't misunderstand. They traveled all over the place. They knew roads that they could go to and so on. But here we see in these occasions especially in these occasions of these wells that we see in the book of Genesis, we see how the Lord is working in these situations to bring these things to pass, that he might accomplish his will and his purpose in the lives of these patriarchs, bringing to pass the things that he was set in order to accomplish the very promises that he gave to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and how he brings those things to pass. With Eleazar there, not even knowing who he was looking for, and she comes directly to him, does exactly what his request is before the Lord. Here, Jacob comes immediately, meets up with Rachel there, and is taken to his uncle Laban's house. We see how the Lord is working in these things, bringing these things to pass, accomplishing these efforts as they go forward to do the exact things that he had promised to Abraham that he would accomplish through his bloodline, to accomplish for him those promises of not only a family, but a nation to follow him, and not only a nation that would be born from him, but the Messiah that would come forth from this family line. And so we see how these things are accomplished by the Lord as he works these things out in the lives of these individuals. He says here, as he's brought to Laban's house, he tells Laban all of these things that happened, and says, and Laban said to him, verse 14, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. So he welcomes him in there. Some say that is actually a statement of adoption there. He's made him a son. Made him one of his sons there by declaring him bone and flesh. And he's been there with him for a month. And then the story takes up again there in verse 15. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, sittest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? So he calls him a brother, calls him a son, but he's acting as a servant. And he's working him as a slave. he's not even paid him anything yet, you see. And he said, you know, it's not right that you're my brother and I'm not paying you anything. What price would you put on your service to me? What is it that you would like from this service? And verse 16 says, Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel, and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And so he strikes a bargain. He wants to marry Rachel. He wants to make her his wife, and so he promises 7 years of servitude to be able to take her to his wife. And of course, Laban agrees with this. He's basically getting free help, and so he's all about that. But it says here, verse 21, Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife. After he'd worked there those 7 years, but a few days, he says, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. So they have a wedding feast to marry all Rachel to Jacob. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. So Jacob goes in, unbeknownst to him, and he consummates the marriage with Leah instead of Rachel. And Laban gave, verse 24, gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And so this was standard custom when the daughter would go off to wed. She'd be given a handmaid to go with her. And so he gives her Zilpah his maid for her handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? Here, the trickster, Jacob, is tricked by his own uncle and father-in-law now. Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to kill the younger before the firstborn. You think that that would have been something about this contract that would have been offered beforehand, wouldn't you? I mean, that would be a good time to make that whenever the deal was struck to begin with. I'll serve you 7 years for raising. You think that would have been the time that Laban would have said, well, I can't do that. Leah has to be married first. You know, you think that would have come up sometime in that amount of time. But no, this is Laban's trick all along. You see, this is what he's intending on doing to hold Jacob a little longer here. And so he says, you tricked me. Why have you beguiled me for? And he says, well, it's not our custom. The older has to be married first before the younger is married. He says, fulfill her wish. And we will give thee this also for the service. So he says, you go on and finish this week of wedding, this week of feasting and the partying that went on for that week's time. And that was essentially their honeymoon time. And he says, you finish her week, and then we'll take up with Rachel. I'll do this transaction like you intended to be done to begin with. So Jacob's intent, working 7 years, is to have the woman he loved as his wife. Now he's got her sister, and he's supposed to get Rachel at the end of the week that he would be able to marry her. She's going to end up with two wives. And we've seen this as a reality throughout, even though Jacob is tricked in this situation, we've seen it as a reality throughout Genesis so far. Every time another wife is taken, every time there is more than one that is a part of the picture, there is always trouble. There is always issues that come forth from this. And it is the case every single time. But Jacob did so, says there verse 28. He did so, he fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, the wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. So he's going to serve Laban now 14 years to finish his service here for his two wives. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also, and she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and left barren. Now, here we see something very important. This was all a trick on Laban's part. This was all a way on Laban's part to be sure that Leah was married off as well as Rachel, but also to have Jacob indentured to him for that time. And so by this means he was able to have that servitude of Jacob there with him and get his two daughters married off and get them in the family so he would know that they would be cared for and be taught properly and be supplied for properly. And so all of this is in Laban's trickery. This apparently comes very natural to this family. That's what Jacob was named for, was his trickery. His mother is just as treacherous as he was, Rebecca. It apparently runs in the family there, this mindset of conniving that goes on there. But in all of their trickery and all of their working there, we find here the necessity of Leah's marriage, the necessity of Leah's marriage to Jacob. Why is it so necessary? Her son, the last one mentioned here, Judah. Her son, Judah. Why is Judah important? Why is it that Judah stands out? We see these four sons, Reuben, the firstborn, and he, of course, Reuben will play a big role in these next chapters to come that we find. You have Simeon, who also will play a big role, especially when you get to the story of Joseph, their younger brother, and what takes place there. We see that situation there. We'll see these two especially. Levi, and be out of Levi's family that all the priests of Israel will come. It'll be from him that God would be worshipped among his people through this third son, Levi. The fourth son is all important. It's absolutely necessary. The fourth son, Judah. It was not Jacob's intent to marry Leah. It was not Jacob's intent to have her as a wife. His intent was Rachel. That was the only thing he was intent upon. But without him being married to Leah, the promises would not be fulfilled to Abraham. And so even though it was trickery that brought this about, it was the absolute necessity that Jacob be married to Leah. Leah would have her son Judah, for it is from Judah that Christ Jesus would be born. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, you see. The very Messiah, the very one promised in Genesis chapter 3, the same one promised to bless all the families of the earth to Abraham, as that promise was given to him. It would come through Leah. It would not come through Rachel. It is through her that all the families of the earth would be blessed, through her son, by Judah coming unto Christ. And so we see here, even when, and this is one of the things we find in this book of beginnings, we see so much trickery, we see so much conniving, we see so much even evil on the part of man to accomplish his will, and we see that here in this book of beginnings, how even as man works all of these things, God's will is always accomplished exactly as he has set it in place. But it will not be thwarted. It will not be changed. Even when man has no mind for it all, Laban was not thinking of any of those promises to Abraham. For that matter, Jacob wasn't. He was just concerned about getting a lot. But the Lord is working it all out to accomplish his will, to accomplish his purpose, to fulfill the promises that he had given to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob as well. And he would accomplish them exactly as he had set in motion to accomplish them. And so, Leah would bear to Jacob these four sons, Judah being the last, that through him the Messiah would be born, and all the families of the earth would be blessed. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight.